Well, hi again, everybody. And I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about Pluto's ingress into Aquarius. Yes, we did have Pluto moving into Aquarius for a short while in 2023. And yes, later this year, we do have Pluto retrograding back into Capricorn briefly before going into Pluto finally for, on November the 19th, 2019. But I kind of feel like this one is more impactful, maybe because the sun is moving into the sign of Aquarius with Pluto on the same day. It also feels very relevant, and I talked about this a little bit in my week ahead video for January the 15th to the 22nd. That this ingress is on January the 20th, which is the US inauguration day, no matter what year or what president, it's always January the 20th, always a zero Aquarius. Anyway, that's why I kind of feel this one's more. But anyway, we're going to look a little bit more in detail at the ingress chart, and I'm going to look back a little bit at the history, and I'm going to talk about some other things and why I think this transit of Pluto through Aquarius is going to be so impactful for all of us. It's going to just change everything, whether you think we've moved into the age of Aquarius or not. That doesn't really matter. So first I'm going to share the chart. Okay, so Pluto is moving into Aquarius at 7:56 p.m. Washington, D.C. time on January the 20th. And as you can see, Pluto is preceded very shortly by, or a very short time before, by the Sun moving into Aquarius. Also, as the Sun and Pluto move into Aquarius, the moon has moved into Gemini, and this is air signs. And as I record this on January the 15th, just 5 days before, we have no significant air placements. We've only got air if we look at a couple of asteroids and the South Node. So really, none of the major planetary players are in air signs. So we've been in this very dense time as we head towards this energy, this entry of Pluto going into Aquarius. The other reason I think this ingress is really pretty important is I am going to quickly show you, and I did look on the week ahead, but we're going to look ahead again. Just before they move in, also on January the 20th at 8:45 a.m. The morning of that day when everything's going to change. Pluto and the Sun actually are exactly together. And this is at the very last minute of the sign. Okay, we will look at the November ingress a little bit as well, but I know that the Sun's not moving into Aquarius then because it always moves in on January the 20th. So, but not only that, it's also in an Earth trine to the moon in Taurus. And so this is the aneretic degrees, the liminal threshold degrees. I'm actually been starting to call it the chrysalis degree. It's right at the end of the signs. We've had Pluto going through Capricorn since 2008, and it feels like everything's being kind of turned to mush and turned into these imaginal cells ready to kind of reorganize and recreate everything, ourselves, everything. So that's one reason why. Now, let me just quickly look at the chart itself, because USA's story is very intimately connected with this. So, one reason I think it's different is because of this Sun Pluto in ingress together. But that's just this ingress. But let's look at the chart for DC. What's coming up for it? Well, we have a Virgo rising, which is just beautiful because that's more of service. We have Hecate, my way shower, the triple moon goddess, right on the ascendant and exactly square to the moon. This is the rise of this divine feminine in so many ways. Also, we have Uranus, which is the modern ruler of Aquarius, about station direct on January the 27th, up here in the ninth house of kind of the law, modern, this is the courts, the law, and things like that. And this is going to bring a radical change. And Jupiter and Uranus are heading towards a massive conjunction together as well. So, all of that. But also, not only is Hecate squaring the moon, Saturn is squaring the moon, and Saturn is on the descendant. And this is a mutable T square of saying, kind of, I really do think that we are going to see some major change in values and kind of beliefs and faith and moving towards this time of being more for the people. And there's several reasons I think that. But the moon is generally the people in a mundane chart. And so here the people are at the top of the chart as well, in the sign of Gemini, which is kind of contracts, communication, new constitutional amendments, maybe, all kinds of things like that. The actual Pluto Sun conjunction as they enter is right on the cusp of the sixth house, using Porphyry house system that I do. And this is really kind of saying, do the right work, be more meaningful, be of more service. And I sense that the USA as a whole is heading that way. Maybe, I hope I'm right. Now, there's other kind of things like that. We've got Venus and Ceres conjunct in the fourth house of the home, saying create this new vision. But Venus is also on the galactic center in there and in that fourth house. So the inner kind of strength and resources is moving towards the future. There's so much I could say here, but we've got Mercury just left the shadow of his retrograde. Conjunct Pholus, kind of saying the lid's off now and we are going to bring massive change. Mars is here in Capricorn, finishing up as well, just about to go back in bounds, but still saying do things differently because he's not back in bounds till January the 20th. I just actually really like this chart for this. Okay. We could say as well, in many ways, that we have a mutable grand cross of change with Vesta, the inner flame of commitment and devotion, but also the sacred flame of the hearth of the state, in Gemini, also up here in the 10th house, the most public place. All right. And then Vesta is square to Neptune. Again, kind of stepping into this more interconnected, higher energy of source and spirit, kind of energy. And that's opposing Juno, which is our sacred contracts with each other in Virgo, that more humble, meaningful kind of state. And they are forming to Ceres, which is what nourishes and nurtures us. I'm going to say that that's a mutable grand cross, all around 21 to 25 degrees. There's a lot I could say about the 23 as well, but if you know me, you've heard of that as well. So anyway, I'm not going to go into the whole chart again. I do because I don't want this to be too long. But let's quickly go back, go forward, and look at the final ingress on November the 19th. Juno has moved right over here, but she is saying, create these powerful new kind of bonds with significant others. At five Taurus on the ascendant, this is where Jupiter stationed direct recently. It's also where we had an eclipse on October the 28th, 2023. Taurus is a very value-laden, stable kind of sign. We've got Capricorn at the top, incidentally, very close to the degree where we had the major conjunction back in January of 2020 that kind of we were already in chaos, but it kind of launched even more chaos with the pandemic and then January the 6th and all kinds of things like that. But Ceres and Venus are catching up to Pluto, and that will be very relevant in a moment, okay, when we look at some other things. Not a lot I want to say about this. Again, we'll probably look at other things moving forwards, but I do like that we have the moon in Cancer here, right at the bottom of the chart. The moon in her own sign of Cancer on the IC. This is building this more emotional basis of security and safety. Now, personally, I do think the Democrats are going to win big. And yes, I know, two-party system, blah, blah, blah. I actually have a good reason to think that if they win big, even if you don't like everything they do, even if you don't, particularly like Joe Biden for whatever reason, I do kind of think this is about restoring the soul of the country so that other change can come. And then we've got the Aquarius at the top of the chart saying new changes. Now then, why is this really important? So I just want to give you some dates. So the last time Pluto moved into Aquarius was in 1777 and 1778. Now, in 1777, when Pluto started moving into Aquarius, we had the George Washington's Revolutionary Army defeated the British forces. Let me just go to the main events because I do not want to go, we can see that that's, was building. So the revolutionary change was already happening in the USA. Not saying there needs to be a war again, but also in 1777, Louis the 16th of France and his foreign minister clandestinely agreed to supply the US with munitions. Now then, moving into 1778, it's a bit like this time. In 2023, we had a taste of Pluto in Aquarius. Now, in 2024, Pluto is going to fully move into Aquarius. So, looking at the highlights again in 1778, when Pluto moved fully into Aquarius, France on February the 6th recognized the USA and signed a Treaty of Alliance in Paris. And the British did not like it. They declared war then on France 4 days later. So, there was great resistance again from the British, perhaps just as there is from one particular side right now, if you like. Okay, so that's really the basics of 77 and 78. If you want to know the history in more detail, you can easily look up the history. But the other things that happened in 1778 was that the Liberty Bell was returned home to Philadelphia after the British departure with the crack on it. And Aquarius is very much the sign of liberty. Okay, what's one of the real kind of words for Aquarius, really? So there's a lot more we could say, but again, I do not want to get too far. So that was 77 and 78. So at that time, so Pluto moved into Aquarius then. 1771, 6 years earlier, we had the first Libra Venus star point. Libra and Aquarius, both air signs. But at that time, we had what's called the Great Mutation in fire signs, which is more warlike, more passionate, more likely to be, aggressive and assertive, but also, fire of inspiration as well and passion. So we had fire and air there. And Libra, the first Libra Venus star point was at 29 degrees Libra, was 6 years before Pluto moved into Aquarius. Also, Uranus and Pluto and Ceres and everything else we've discovered since, we didn't even know existed. So Pluto was not discovered till 1930. And it's generally thought in astrology that when we discover these energies, no matter what we name them, they are coming into our consciousness. So, but fast forward to now. The Venus Libra star point, the full Libra star point from the same degree to the same degree of the star points is 251 years. So we had the first Libra Venus star point on October the 22nd, 2023. And then Pluto started moving into Aquarius in 2023 and will move in fully this year. So now they're only 1 year apart. Pluto's orbit is 248 years, and the Venus star point cycle is 251 years. And I've come to understand that Venus and Pluto are much more connected in energy, even than Venus and Neptune. It's generally considered that Venus and Neptune are higher and lower octaves of each other. And of course, they do have similarities. But Venus is very earthy and desirous as well. And Pluto is about our desires. There's a lot in common. And that will be important too. So, not only have the Venus star point cycle and the Pluto cycle aligned to almost at the same part of moving into air. So the Libra star points started over 100 years of that Libra star point. Pluto is moving into the air sign for 20 years. This time, we also have what's called the Great Mutation, which is when the great conjunctions of Saturn and Pluto actually change element. The Great Mutation this time is in air, and that happened on December the 21st, 2020. Every Saturn Jupiter conjunction for 200 years will be in air signs. We are entering air in such a big way. So that's those two cycles really aligning. Remember in the 17 late 70 the late 18th century, the Great Mutation was in fire. So we had fire and air. This is air, air, air. We just got air all over the place. There's other air too, but these are the three main ones. Now, one other thing I want to mention is that when Pluto is in Aquarius, we've also got the Venus star point in Leo. Each period for Venus star points has a five-pointed star, hence my pentagram. On August the 7th, 1788, Pluto opposed the Leo star point at 16 degrees. Okay. And in 1788, the Constitution, what was it saying, came into effect. It wasn't fully ratified till later, but it came into effect in 1788 when Pluto and the Leo star point opposed each other. Now, We are under this five-pointed star right now with the Libra one, the new one. We have one last Scorpio to die out. That was the same back then. A Leo, Gemini, Capricorn, and one other. Bear with me. Oh, Aries, but and Aries is going to change to Pisces while we're got Pluto in Aquarius too. So all this to say, you've probably gone baffled. This is amazing. Now to go back to when Pluto opposed the Venus star point on August the 7th, 1788, and the Constitution, US Constitution came into being. Leo is the sign of royalty, literally, and that kind of the rights of kings and leaders, and you could say oligarchs as well. And Aquarius is the sign of the people. Now, this time with Pluto and Aquarius, Pluto will not oppose the Venus star point in Leo until 2035, but that's only 12 years away, and the rapid change is going to start now. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily mean we'll have a war again at all. So do please, do not kind of go into that kind of energy. But I just wanted to show you why this ingress of Pluto into Aquarius is so much more special than last time. I think I shared it on my Substack blog, but I saw one article at least talking about how the US Constitution is used the Iroquois Confederacy kind of formation to of as its basis, but it kind of left some bits out. And if we're quite honest, the US Constitution has got holes, has not served everybody. It was written by men. It did not include people of color or women particularly. And, people have been fighting for those rights since. As we're in this transition, of course, we see some of those rights being taken away. However, I'm really pretty convinced that this is going to lead to new constitutional amendments, for example, things like that, because it's all air. This is all about communication and ideas and revolutionary ideas in Aquarius. And there is Uranus about to station direct as well. And that's Uranus, the modern ruler of Aquarius, which we didn't even know existed until 3 years after Pluto moved into Aquarius. And Uranus kind of broke the bounds of our conscious awareness. Since then, our consciousness has been expanding and expanding with the new discoveries of planets and planetary bodies and centaurs and asteroids and so on and so forth. So after Pluto moved into Aquarius, Uranus was discovered in 1781. Ceres was discovered in 1801. And then Pluto was not discovered till 1930. So, and then now we've got like Eris and all these dwarf planets. And then since 1977, we've got the Centaurs since Chiron was discovered. And then, after Ceres was discovered in the asteroid belt, we've so many asteroids discovered as well. Although Ceres has been reclassified as a dwarf planet, and I don't think there's anything dwarf about her. So, the period since Pluto moved into Aquarius last time has been transformational in so many ways in our consciousness. We've woken up, we've fought for our rights. Women got the vote, people of color got the vote, slavery was outlawed. and so on. But there's still, huge inequality, both socially and economically. And this is because we're in this time. Everything's come to the surface. Pluto, which we now know exists, because, as I said, we did not know that it existed when Pluto was in Aquarius last time, has been showing us all these holes in the rules and the laws, and so on and so forth. So change is coming. Uranus, the modern ruler of Taurus, again about to, sorry, the modern ruler of Aquarius, is about station direct. Ceres, at the moment, is near the galactic center with Venus, and Venus is the ruler of Taurus. There's also a good argument for Ceres ruling Taurus too. So they're both in Sagittarius, which is natural law and vision and faith. And then we have Saturn. Saturn is the traditional ruler of Aquarius. Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn, where Pluto is leaving. Saturn is in Pisces, and he's not very strong in Pisces. He's been letting things go, but he's also been showing us the leaks and the kind of the holes in all the rules. I don't know. I'm sure many of you have noticed that, there just should not be these holes. The kind of constitutional rights, laws, or whatever you want to call them, should be more firmly in place so that people cannot question them. The wording needs to be tightened up, and so on and so forth. And as a reminder, Saturn is this Saturday, January the 20th, opposing Hecate, who shows us our way, and square the moon, the people. So we've reached this crux in my point, to my mind. Was there anything else I wanted to say? No. Now, as well as, I did in my 2024 presentation that, I think collectively we're going to have a lot of technological advancements and things, but I think for this video, we're going to stick to this constitutional kind of new alliances, new agreements, tightening up of the rules for the modern world. This could also bring tightening up of guidelines for AI and so on. But, this future is going to be unlike anything we've experienced. With the Venus star point in air sign Libra, the great mutation in air, and then we've got other new discoveries. I talked about it on my 2024 preview. Sedna is going to move into the sign of Gemini for the first time since 11,000 years ago. So, air, all the way. It's just intense, and I really think there's going to be new agreements. Okay, so meanwhile, we've also got the South Node in Libra, which is suggesting to leave behind some of these old agreements and create new, very Aries, new agreements. So, one other thing I want to talk about before I go, because I don't want to make this too long, and I am going to read you the symbols for that 0 degree. I created this slide for my 2024 presentation, but I just want to show you because Pluto and the Sun are both moving to zero Aquarius on Saturday at the same time. And I want you to see what a hot degree it is. On March the 31st, 2020, Mars and Saturn were conjunct at 0 degrees. So that's forward movement and containment rules. This is kind of coming together of that drive forward and kind of the brakes saying, hang on, we need to get clarity. But also they're called the two malefics in traditional astrology. And they were saying, time for something new. December the 21st, 2020 was the Great Conjunction, that is also the Great Mutation. I've already mentioned that. Then after that, on March the 6th, 2022, Venus and Mars, the divine masculine, the divine feminine, for want of a better term, or the feminine principle and the masculine principle, were conjunct at zero Aquarius. Mars had, gone all the way around the zodiac and come back now. And then, incidentally, as well, Venus and Mars are ruling the nodes as Pluto goes into Aquarius. Mars rules the north node, Venus rules the south node. Venus is also ruling the sign Uranus stations direct in. So Venus and Mars have also been the rulers of the Scorpio and Taurus nodes as we move into this air energy. I did go off the 0 degrees for a little moment because, building on that last Venus and Mars conjunction, they are next going to meet on February the 22nd of this year. And that's going to be at 6 degrees 57. Now that's on the south node of the USA. It's also on the polarity point of the degree where Carriclough was discovered, the grace spinner who has been holding space to create something new that's more equal. So that's another big point of change. And Carriclough is in Aquarius too. She has been leading the way into this air, age of air, whatever you want to call it. I did mention that, there was the conjunction at the very last minute of Capricorn, so no need to go there again, and that Pluto will briefly re-enter Capricorn from September the 1st to November the 19th this year. And that's kind of a finishing up. There might be something to revisit and things like that. And that's actually during the election. But anyway, February the 14th of this year, Mercury meets Pluto. Not far away, look, we're nearly there, right? And that's at zero Aquarius too. Then on just 3 days later, Venus joins Pluto at zero Aquarius. And then fast forward to the end of the year, Venus moves quickly right around the zodiac because she has no retrograde in 2024. And this date I've been watching for so long. Pluto will be fully in Aquarius by November the 19th. Just a few days later, Venus, Ceres, and Pluto are conjunct at zero Aquarius. The divine feminine. I've actually come to the conclusion that Pluto is, in many ways, a feminine energy. I know he's named after, a male deity, but I think this is kind of Persephone and Demeter and Hades, but it's all within us, okay? Like Venus is our young maiden self, innocent, coming in. Then Ceres is kind of that middle phase of life in all of us. This is not, this is not about men and women, but oh, I do think the divine feminine is rising up. But it's also that, coming into adulthood, realizing that, the world's messy. And then Pluto is our shadow. This is the underworld. In many ways, if talking in terms of Hecate, who is, if you remember, sitting on the ascendant at the Washington, D.C. chart when Pluto moves into Aquarius, this is the three shamanic worlds in some ways. Venus is the higher energy of Earth. You could say it's the upper world in many ways. Esoterically, Venus is one of the most important energies. As you know, if you've been on any of my Venus retrograde classes, she is the higher energy of Earth. So she is the upper world in shamanic terms. Ceres, the great mother, the Earth goddess, is the middle world. This is where we are. This is life, okay? Humanness, interconnectedness. Pluto is our shadow. This is the underworld. These are coming together. These are integrating on December the 7th at that 0 degree mark. I'm just like, okay, this is crazy. So, I hope I haven't lost you with too many numbers. Just get the idea that, there'll be a lot of talk, and I do it too in astrology about, last time Pluto was in Aquarius. But I hope I've shown you that last time it brought an amazing change. The US has had its, or is still having really, its Pluto return. So we're going to change anyway. And everything else that happened around that time in the world too is changing, incidentally. One of the years Australia was something was formed in Australia in one of those years. So you can look at your own history wherever you are. But it was a time of revolution and change anyway. They had the French Revolution, that kind of took down the French royalty, and so on. And I'm not saying that, we're going to go and start beheading kings and queens again. I think we are in a different place right now. We've got all this new energy that's expanded our consciousness. But does that maybe mean that, for example, the British family is going to kind of have less relevance and step back even more from kind of this divine right of kings kind of energy? I don't know, maybe, or maybe start to. Pluto's in Aquarius for 20 years, just about, so 19, 20 years. And then what about kind of the American royalty, the oligarchs, the kind of wealthy families, and the ruling families, if you like. We've kind of recreated our own royalty in the US anyway. And I've long said that the energy of Aquarius is about bringing in ancient ways in new way into the new, into the future, for the good of everybody. And I've mentioned already the Iroquois Confederacy and articles saying, hey, we forgot that bit, we forgot that bit. So, it could just be as simple as constitutional amendments. So we'll see if I'm right. I've kind of stuck my neck out a bit saying all this, but let me read you the symbols for that first degree of Aquarius, which is such a hot degree. So the Sabian symbol is an old adobe mission in California. The power inherent in all human works to endure far beyond the workers' lifespans. Now, I've thought about this symbol for a long time. I think we need to kind of get over the fact that it's the missions in themselves were colonial. I know there's talk of decolonize and all kinds of things like that, and it means different things to different people. But the fact is, we are not going to just completely like eradicate. The population of the US is huge now, and it's a big melting pot of people. We're not all suddenly going to leave and give the land back to the indigenous peoples that were here before Europeans came and settled. However, does that mean we can't learn from the indigenous peoples and start to all come together and integrate things in a different way to learn from all the great human works, as he says, okay, and create something better? I like that Dane Rudyard says in the end of the symbols that this is about the concretization of an ideal. Really, the Constitution of the US, which was started and formed back last time Pluto was in Aquarius, was an ideal, and it did not live up to its ideal because of the holes. This is about the concretization of that ideal, and apply that to wherever you are as well. Okay, so let's go to John Sandbacher's symbols. So the Omega symbol is deciding to die, a vampire walks into the sunlight. He says this degree is about sacrificing of personal desires to a higher purpose. When a way of life has worn itself out, it's time for a change. The energy of this degree is about overcoming the fear of change and letting go of old patterns. It wants to bring whatever is hidden to light and to find a way to fulfill true spiritual needs. No, wow. So the Chandra symbol for this degree is a two-headed calf. We all have two selves, the conscious objective self and the unconscious or feeling self. Or on another level, the true self and the pain body. That's Eckhart Tolle's description. I'm going to call it more kind of, more about this recognizing this internal family systems and or parts work, as we call it. Anyway, John Sandbach goes on to say this degree recognizes the divisions that exist within the self, all those parts, as well as the need to acknowledge and respect all the various aspects of one's being. Whatever parts of ourselves we reject, we inevitably come into conflict with. And the only way to resolve this conflict is to reach across our inner divisions and accept every aspect of who we are. And that's what has become the core of my work. And in fact, I kind of see astrology as internal family systems. I'm actually thinking of studying internal family systems myself to get certified in it. But anyway. But this degree, but extrapolate that out. This isn't about first our internal system, all the parts of us individually, and then it's all the systems within systems, the different genders, the different colors, the different races, the different countries, the different that. So he says this degree carries the message that completely opposite ideas can peacefully coexist and actually have the potential to enhance and clarify each other. So I'm going to leave you with that. I know I'm a dreamer and I'm not the only one, to quote John Lennon, but I really have this intense, intuitive belief that we are entering this time of great possibility and great potential. And I think we are probably going to be okay. I've already thought that, just on a more mundane level, Aquarius and all the other air is going to bring all these great inventions. Like, I think there's going to be the discovery of a new clean energy source at some point, as well as all the developments in recycling batteries and, all that kind of energy. But more importantly, I think this is a really truly about we the people and how we can recognize and see each other for just humans. That doesn't mean we're going to get exactly economic equality. I don't think that's ever possible, but I do think the gap is going to shrink. Anyway, I'm just so hopeful for it, and I hope you are too. And I hope I've shown you why. Okay. All right. So actually, I thought I'd pull a card. And this card, wow. So I was like, what is this card? What are the cards telling me? I've gone back to my trusty Thoth or Thoth tarot, because he's Mercury the messenger. He was the Egyptian god as well. And this is the Crowley deck, which a lot of people do not like. But anyway, this is a decision which has a major impact on our lives, or several decisions in this case. Okay, so this is the Judgment card in many other decks. And really, it addresses finality and endings, as well as liberation, hope, and redemption. So I'll let you see the card. Amazing, right? I just kind of think we're kind of through the worst. It's not going to be easy, but it's good things are going to come, and I hope I live to see the end of Pluto in Aquarius to 2044. Yeah, I might do, and and see it all come to fruition. So much love. I love you. Don't forget to subscribe and thumbs up and all those kind of things, and I'll talk to you next time.